Again, good morning to you and good morning to Roma and anybody else who might be watching this online. Like I said earlier, my name is Peter Evans, one of the pastors here. Let's pray. Father God, as we open your word this morning, we thank you that you are God who speaks. And so we ask we might have ears to listen. Lord, we thank you for the way in which your word is full of instruction and advice and encouragement and praise even. And we pray, Lord, that as we read and hear your word this morning, that you might help us to apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if our church disappeared, do you think Dolby would miss us? I mean, if we closed the doors tomorrow, how long would it be before anyone noticed? Would our church be missed? Now, I reckon we would be missed. I reckon a lot of people would think, what a great shame the Dolby Presbyterian Church is closed. But why? Why do you think people might miss us? Because I don't think most people will miss us preaching the gospel particularly. I don't think people will miss us pointing out their sin, that God is a just and holy God, that a day comes when we'll all be judged and have to give an account for our lives, and those who don't follow Jesus will go to hell where the fire never goes out. I mean, we know the gospel is the smell of death to those who are perishing, and that our message really gets up people's nose, and Jesus tells us to expect to be persecuted for our faith because the gospel exposes our rebellion. Look, if we were missed, what would people miss? Because, you know, for most people, about 10,000 in our town, they'll only enter our doors for one of three things: a funeral, a wedding, or maybe to see someone in their family baptised. That's pretty rare, though, these days. Now, there's a few who come for Christmas or Easter, but for most, we're really just a place to conduct funerals and weddings. And a lot of people will think it's a shame if that is gone. So if our church and every other church in Dolby disappeared, do you think Dolby would miss us? There's a number of responses that you might have to this question. I mean, on the one hand, like, what does it matter? What does it matter if the community will miss us or not? Because we'll keep preaching, we'll keep living out the gospel regardless of whether our community thinks it's valuable or not. We'll keep trying to be a light on a hill. Like Jesus was rejected, we expect the same. We're called to carry our cross. We're not called to win a popularity contest. And also, we've been taught, I think, to beware the social gospel. You know, in the 20th century, the church divided into two kind of theological camps. There was the liberal mainline churches that stressed what's called a social gospel. And then there was the fundamentalist churches that emphasized personal salvation. I want to talk to you a bit more about this social gospel. The social gospel is... Oh, I just turned it off. The social gospel is a movement that focuses on applying Christian ethics to social problems. It's primarily concerned about injustice in the world. And the thought is this: how can we save people's souls but do nothing about their poor living conditions? It's the church's duty to do something about the social systems that lock people into poverty. However, in pursuing this, what happened was there was a shift in theology for all of those mainline churches, a shift that diluted God, the Bible as God's word, a shift that downplayed things like sin, like salvation, atonement, the concept of a heaven and a hell, things that are foundational biblical doctrines. There are many schools, many hospitals, many social welfare organizations that were started by the church but have drifted away from the gospel drive that started them. So maybe, like many evangelical Christians, and I think me to some extent as well, maybe we've welded social justice with a drift away from biblical theology. If that's you, like me, being challenged with that this week, then you know what? We actually have a big problem. The problem is this, it's Jesus. Because Jesus had a great compassion for the poor, the widow, and the orphans. And there are numerous passages that show us that God is just and he wants us to pursue social justice in our world. That God wants his people to meet the practical needs of others. And I want to look at just a few this morning. Our first reading was from Zechariah chapter 7, if you've got it, have it open, where we see that God wants us to bring social justice to our communities. The book of Zechariah, a bit of background, it was written about 520 BC, about 20 years after the Israelites, they've returned from Babylon, where they are in exile. They've built the foundation of the temple, but that's it. It's sort of stalled there. There's all this opposition to them building anymore. They are still, the Israelites are very conquered people. The world very much still seems against them. They live in a land hostile to the God that they worship. And they're asking the question, how do we live as God's people? In chapter 7, some people have come down from the north. They've gone into Jerusalem to ask some priests this question from back in verse 3. The question they've got is this, should I mourn and fast in the fifth month as I've done for so many years? Now, this mourning and fasting that they're talking about here, it's not actually in the Bible. It's a tradition that they'd started. It's a question about repentance. They're concerned about living pure and holy lives. But these rituals that they've been doing are actually to do with the loss of the temple. We've lost our temple. We were invaded and it was destroyed. So let's carry out these religious rituals in repentance. The issue is, though, truly repentant people have concerns that go beyond religious rituals. Truly repentant people are obedient to God and living out his character. If you're repentant, then just get on with it. Get on with the business of living out God's justice in the world. Look at what God says in verses 9 and 10. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. You see, people following a just God live out this justice by seeking the welfare of the people around them, particularly the most weak and vulnerable. At a time when God's people have been really sidelined as a nation, I mean, the Israelites have been smashed by being invaded by Babylon, God calls for them to live out his character through practical actions that seek the welfare of their community. Looking out for the weak, looking out for the vulnerable in our society. This is what God calls his people to do. Why? Because God loves justice. So we display his character when we do that too. I mean, way back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, we know that all of God's ways are just. Zechariah, in this passage, is quoting Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, it's repeated three times that God executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner or sojourner, giving them food and clothing. Now, if you're hard-hearted towards the poor, hard-hearted towards the marginalized in our society, we need to really watch out, because there is a serious warning here in verses 11 through to 13. Check it out. To not care for the widowed or orphaned or foreigner or poor means we're turning our backs and covering our ears. Our hearts are hard as flint, and we're not listening to how God's spoken through the prophets. And it says there, God gets angry over that. He doesn't listen to the prayers of people thinking like that. Now, I know for me, I've got to be really careful of not hardening my heart. We often get people dropping into church here wanting money. The trouble is, they're usually lying. The usual story is they're trying to get home from going to a funeral. Somehow words got out. Use that and you'll get something out of the churches. A lady came in this week and she must have got me on a bad day, because I was just feeling a little bit fed up. She said she'd just been to her cousin's funeral in Toowoomba and she just needed some fuel to get home. Could I give her some money? So when she came in, I asked her, what's your cousin's name? And you know what? She couldn't remember. So I said to her, you haven't been to a funeral, have you? And to my shock, she said, no, I haven't. I nearly fell out of my chair. It was so nice to be told the truth. You know, at that point, I could have hardened my heart. I could have said, right, get out of here. You just lied to me. You're not going to get any help out of me. But I didn't. I gave her a fuel card, but I gave her more than that. I gave her a food voucher as well. And I said to her, you know what? I just want to thank you for telling me the truth. Now, next time you come in, don't make up a story. Just come in and say, hey, look, I'm struggling. I'm in trouble. Can you help me out? And you know what? I'll do what I can. In verse 14, God reminds them how he scattered them. And fittingly, what happens to the Israelite when they went into exile? They became like the vulnerable people they oppressed. The Israelites themselves became strangers, asylum seekers in a foreign land. So I guess the application for us this morning is this. We need to stop and examine our hearts. Because if God has a soft heart towards needy people, then we should too. God wants us to bring social justice to our community. In that James passage as well that we read out, we also see that God's word in caring for the weak and vulnerable, it's not an easy either-or thing, it's a both-and. That we're to be so heavenly-minded that we do great earthly good. We're not to merely hear God's word, but like that Nike ad, just do it. Verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the world and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now don't skip over that first phrase there. To only listen to God's word, you deceive yourself. You can't grow in love of God and not also grow in love of your fellow man. To grow in passion for God is linked with growing in compassion for the vulnerable in our community. Don't lose sight of what you look like. That before Jesus reached into it, your heart was made of stone. You were in bondage to your sin and you didn't know what true sacrificial love was. Remember how broken and vulnerable you were before the Spirit filled your heart. Because remembering our own brokenness is what drives our love for the broken in our community. We love and care for the broken to show that God loved and cared for us when we were broken before him. Now, I'm not sure what you look like when you get up in the morning. But for me, it's not pretty. Just like there is no way I'd walk out that door without using a bit of product on that bed hair and scrubbing the fur that's built up on my teeth overnight, there's no way someone following the word of God can ignore the practical needs of our community. Saying you love God without loving the people God made, it just doesn't compute. Check out verses 26 and 27 here. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Is it prayer, reading the Bible, worship? No, look at what it says. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Does that not surprise you? It's not what I would have put in there. You see, pure religion is seen in practical actions in our community. Social justice, looking after those whose parents or spouses have died. This is what's acceptable, Jesus-centered religion. This is what it looks like. Taking care for the poor and oppressed in our society. The bottom line is this. We can't disengage the gospel from social justice. For faith without works is dead. So this is why we've made sure this is part of our five-year vision. That in 2021, we want to see a church family whose practical actions are valuable to the community of Dalby. How are we going to do that? How can we get involved in this? What practical actions does our community need and value? Well, there's a number of ministries already happening that address community needs that you can get involved in. I've already spoken to you about one, the Dalby Hope Centre. Perhaps you could volunteer as a receptionist when that's needed as it gets bigger. Or maybe you could offer to support someone who would really benefit from counselling, but just can't afford it. You know, we would love to have a fund where we can offer subsidised fees for those on healthcare cards or in financial difficulties. We've already had phone calls from people who'd like help, but just can't afford it. When we start running courses under the Hope Centre name, courses like the marriage course, parenting courses, sign up. Invite your friends along. Another ministry that's meeting a big need in our community is MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. There are lots of mums out there who really appreciate the support of MOPS. There's lots of young families that are desperately looking for community, and MOPS is a big help that way. We can see that MOPS is meeting a need in our community because, did you know, there is a waiting list if you want to join it. We don't have enough Christian mums to lead tables, look after kids, and help run the program. Oh, by the way, you don't have to be a Christian mum to help out look after kids. The blokes can do that as well. I caught up with Jeanette Smith. She's the that was last night. She's the MOPS coordinator. And double check some of the numbers here. There's 56 mums plus 3 mentors in MOPS that meet here every fortnight. And there's currently 19 people on the waiting list. The next person on the list, she put her name down on the list in November last year. Now, to give young mums a short break from the kids, to do some craft, to hear a speaker and have a discussion, there is a team called the Mopettes who take care of kids so the mums can have that time alone with other mums. This is a huge undertaking, Mopettes. Chantel Chamberlain, you hear Chantel? Chantel Chamberlain is in 1030 Church. She's over in Craigs looking after kids. Chantel Chamberlain, she is our Mopettes coordinator. Now we need at least 12 carers each week to run that. If you love taking care of little kids, this is a great way that you can serve our community. The roster is very, very flexible, I hear. Please contact the church office or Chantel directly if you'd like to serve in Mopettes. Another program that you can get involved in is caring for our older adults. Our monthly Monday coffee morning is being replaced by a new program called Staying Sharp. We're planning on meeting on the second and fourth Friday of every month, and the program will focus on 3 areas, promoting the physical, mental, and spiritual health of older adults. The physical bit, I think, is actually going to be a little kind of like aerobics for older people. Blue Care is really excited about this program. Ross went and spoke to Blue Care about it, and they are super excited. They plan on filling up buses of their clients and dropping them here to be a part of this program. We're also starting, as part of our older adults ministry, a new pastoral care visiting team. They'll visit older adults in their homes. You know, as you get older and you start to lose mobility, it's more difficult to get out. And there are lots of elderly people who are shut in and feeling quite lonely. This team, they'll go out in pairs to visit people like that in their homes. The fourth opportunity to meet the practical needs of our community is mini missions. Once again, we want to see every home group take up the challenge of doing something that reaches people in our community. Now, one of our home groups, I think it was last year, they decided to go out and help out the soup kitchen. But they've kept going. They go back every month to help out in that soup kitchen. Other home groups, they've gone and mowed lawns for people no longer able to do it themselves. Some home groups have helped people in distress move house. Now, there are what I've given you there, sort of four larger scale, organised ways in which we can reach into our community with practical actions. But I want to say this, that God's got good works lined up and ready for each of us individually to do. We know this from Ephesians 2, verse 10, where it says, "We're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's got opportunities lined up, ready and waiting, prepared in advance. He's got good works that I'm meant to do, and He's got good works that you're meant to do. And when we do it, by God's grace, our good works will point people to the good God who, through faith, saved us. We can't be concerned about someone's spiritual needs and not also be concerned about their physical and emotional needs as well. God wants us, His people, to meet the practical needs of others in such a way that if we disappeared, we'd be missed. Through our practical actions, seeking social justice in our community, we hope to point people to a just God, a God that we love and we follow. Let me pray. Father, you are a God of justice, and you are a God who has a heart for the weak and vulnerable. You made us as creatures, and you know us inside out. Father God, if there's anyone in this creation who understands our brokenness, it should be us as Christians. Lord, may it be that as we fully understand our brokenness and how you came to us as a God of justice and reached out to us in our vulnerability, help us to have that same passion for the needy in our town. Father God, may it be that as we grow in our passion for you, we would grow in compassion for our neighbours. Lord, may it be that we'd be looking for opportunities in our community to meet its needs. Lord, there is a fear there, I think, for us. We fear going down a social justice, social gospel line for fear that we too might drift away from the Bible. Well, help us to stand firm on your truth and yet not lose sight of the fact that true religion is indeed taking care of the most vulnerable in our town. Lord, help us to do this way, in a way in which our community really values us and would miss us if we were no longer here. If we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.